What character are you going to get?
Hermie.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, we got to dye his hair blonde.
Yeah, he can be Hermie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You look good as a Hermie.
I don't know who Hermie is.
He's independent.
You never watch Christmas cartoons, huh?
Do we even know what we're talking about?
No.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Come on, man. Claymation?
Homie the dentist?
Me, yeah. Yes! Oh, the dentist, yes.
Now I know what you're talking about.
I'm going to be a dentist. Yeah, come on.
I'm going to be a dentist. Yes. You got to do the costume for Christmas, dude.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to 1075 Chatter. I'm Larry. Today I have Nicholas with me and longtime first responder and friend of ours, David Brarity. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, glad you could make it. Unfortunately, there was somebody else I wanted to talk to in the that would be in the room, but he's not here, so we'll have no heckling from your brother today, who who is an employee here, but we'll leave that out for now. So
we won't embarrass him too much.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, welcome. Thanks for coming. We appreciate you taking some time from your busy schedule to come spend time with us.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
I know you're a newer homeowner, spending a lot of time in the lake. I've seen. So
yes, thank you very much. It's a blessing. It really is. Been a renter my whole life, and moving up this way from Bergen County. You know, born and raised in Bergen County. To come to Passaic County into the woods, which I am so happy to be. It's so peaceful. It's my little paradise now. And, you know, chopping away at doing the home ownership thing. And I got my little piece of heaven on the lake.
Wait a minute. Chopping away. Chopping away. Is that the pictures that I see of you like this in the floating on the lake?
With a cigar, beer,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It looks like you're really struggling there.
You got to take your me time. Okay. There's house time. There's wife time, and then there's me time. And the me time is the beverage. We won't talk about what's in the beverage, the cigar, and the tube, which I actually just figured out how to tie my floating table to my tube. So now I have my floating table with my speaker so that when I float out into the middle of the lake,
you've got music, you've tunes, got oh.
Where, you know, I was having to like stay close to shore to listen to my music. Now it just comes with me.
Do you have a Vope on land so when you go too far?
No, I got a mini oar on Amazon. Awesome. $10. So I just row myself back. I look like a complete fool, but it's awesome.
Well, I'm glad you made the move because
yes.
I know
yes.
You know, I know you had been a longtime renter. You and your brother were like, you know,
yeah.
Ridgefield
City
you know,
life.
Forever.
Yeah, we were dug
a long
in
time,
deep,
yeah.
And you know, we both moved up in the world with our careers, and we were able to make big moves like this, and I'm very proud of both of us to be able to purchase homes.
Well, that's good, and you know, it seems like you're a little less stressed now that you got your own place.
So. Yeah, my hair might actually start growing back. I don't want it to though because I'm so used to it, but it might start growing back. It's crazy.
Well, listen, there's only a few perfect heads, and then everybody else has to have hair on it, right? Listen, I mean,
yeah.
That's what they say anyhow. So,
yeah.
Nick will just sit here and giggle with his hair, full head of hair.
It's less expensive if you got no hair.
It really is.
Yeah,
I have saved a bundle just shaving my own head.
I mean, I pay $30 for a haircut. It takes about an hour and a half for them to cut it.
An hour and a half?
Yeah.
It takes me 90 seconds to shave my head. Skull Shaver, hit me up. I'll demo your products. Let's go.
I can't even say that when my wife goes to get her hair done, it's an hour and a half.
Nick,
what are you doing?
It was bad. I was like, I had a
I know this isn't about you, but let's get into this for a minute here. I mean, let's talk the hair thing. An hour and a half, really?
But for $30, though, that's really not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy's not making any money for an hour and a half.
I was going to say, he doesn't have any other customers.
He's making like $16, $18 an hour or something like that.
I got a lot of hair.
You know what? He's using that old school like hand buzzer. You know, he's not using the real buzzer. That's what it is. That's why it looks so like perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, my hair was all the way out to here. I was getting tired of it.
Must be nice.
So I had to cut it out.
Honestly, though, I get a lot more compliments with this, though.
Yeah,
people think it's good luck, which, hey, listen, if it brings you luck, then God bless you, you know?
So do you put lotion on your head?
I do. I put...
you have to.
I can't think of the name to shout it out, but it's like a shea product, shea butter or something, and it's wonderful for your head. Keeps the ingrown hairs down and things like that.
Well, when I get older, I'll keep that in mind.
Listen, just hit me up. Me and Larry are very well, you know,
pretty well versed
in products, you know?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we don't have to spend money on hair gel. We just, you know.
Well, I used to buzz it all the way down, and then I was like, see, I like, got the hair, so why not keep
it? I would curse at you for that, because shame on you when you have a beautiful head of hair like that and you take it off. Like,
yeah.
I have no choice but that.
I did military style. All short, done. Yeah. And someone goes, you got good hair. Why are you cutting it all the way down?
I'm like, should bring back the mullet.
Good question.
Definitely should.
Should bring back the mullet. I think the mullet.
And then that'll be a next style.
There you go. Start growing that out.
I don't know. We'll find out. She could cut it at then at night. She wanted to.
Start with just a little tail, like the 80s tail that they used to have, and then just grow it out to a full
Billy
mullet.
Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, the Billy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He probably has no idea who Billy Ray Cyrus is.
No idea.
Nope.
So. That would be Miley Cyrus's father.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know.
Achy Breaky Heart was his biggest song.
That was his biggest one. Yep.
So, don't break my heart, my achy breaky heart. You know, I'm sure you'll Google that later.
Probably.
Because that's what you. That's
gotta
what,
get on the Google machine.
That's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you challenge him with something, that's what he has to do. He has to get on
Google it, and I'll find the answer.
So, but. So let's get back to you. Let's get away from Nicholas's beautiful head of hair, and we'll get back to you. So you started off. How old were you when you started off in the? I mean, obviously, so it's a lifelong business for you guys.
It really is. It's you know, born and raised in the firehouse. You know, fourth and fifth generation firefighter, depending on what side of the family you're on. My father always brought us around. I mean, we literally would run out the door with him to calls. Since like, you know, as soon as we could walk, you know, and honestly, that's what gave me the passion that I have for the career that I have, both, you know, professional and volunteer. That's what really gave it to me. Watching him as I was growing up as a multiple first responder like I am, you know, he was a police officer and a firefighter, and, you know, I'm a firefighter and an EMT. So, you know, you had multiple spectrums in the house all the time. You know, he had the Plectron, you know, growing up, and you know, you got used to that noise, and now it's, you know, we have the Minotaur. I think we're up to like six now, right? But it's a crazy thing. You know, I just got to watch him fight fires as a kid, and then I was fortunate enough to be able to ride with him as a young adult, and you know, he got to show me the ropes for quite a long time. And then, you know, my brother and I kind of went our own way and did our own things. And
so when you were in the firehouse with your dad, was it you and your brother in there in the same house? Or?
Oh, yeah.
So it was a family affair there.
It was a family affair in Richfield. Yeah, it really was. Taught us how to pump, taught us how to drive. You know, he was really, as I was getting into firefighting more seriously, you know, obviously at 15 and 16 years old, I was at the firehouse washing trucks and checking equipment with the guys and stuff, but I wasn't allowed to really do anything, you know, until I turned 17. And that's when, you know, I was able to start going to fire school. Back when I was 17, Nick, you're a little too young for this, but when I was 17, you were able to go to firefighter one without parental consent. It was, and you were able to do all the burning and everything like that. And so when I was 17, I did the summer program. I was done with fire one and fire two in like 5 weeks or 5.5 weeks. It was awesome. But it was a huge benefit to me. You know, by the summer of 2003, I became a firefighter in July of 2003. And by the end of or the middle of August, I was a fire two firefighter. You know, it was crazy. My probationary year started. I couldn't really go interior until I was 18, though. That was the only thing with the state at the time. And then July of 2004, boom, you know, that's when it all began.
But you're 18 years old. You're already through fire school. You're ready to go.
I was fire two. I had gone through a bunch of the ICS classes already. You know, I had schooled myself as much as I could before, you know, I was able to get hands-on experience actually at fires. And I was fortunate enough, you know, at the time that we did a decent amount of fire, when I was 18 and at that time, you know, fires are few and far between now. And I think that's a detriment to the fire service now, but that's a whole nother podcast.
It's a detriment, but it's also a saving grace, I think.
Of course.
For homeowners, it's peace of mind, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's more fire safe, but
yeah.
Again, skill sets start to diminish, right? Diminishing skill sets. So. Yeah.
You know, you need to see the interior of homes to really get your hands on them and know what you're doing. But anyway, yeah, so being in the firehouse with my dad, so he started really getting away from being an interior guy. He was mostly a chauffeur, and he was a reliable chauffeur and a trusted chauffeur. And I don't just say that because he's my dad. Like, you know, you go back to Richfield and you talk to guys that were there with him for years, and when they saw Jim Briarty or Big Jim on the pump or behind the wheel of the ladder truck, they knew things were going to get done properly. And I love that about my dad. You know, I'm so damn proud of that. And I take that with me on calls every day. You know, I really do. I take his knowledge with me.
It's the biggest thing in the history of the fire service, right? Because usually it's usually generational, right? I mean, most people you hear, it's always generational. For me, it wasn't. I was the first in my family, and my kids have not decided to follow my footsteps, which that's their own call. But most of the time, like when I was in my firehouse, it was the same way. It was generational. It's father, two or three sons.
And it's so awesome to see that, because you can tell the difference. Majority of the time, you can tell the difference between a guy walking in the firehouse that is generational and a guy that's coming fresh, you know, that has no idea, that's never seen a first responder in their home or their family. And it's awesome that they want to serve, but you can definitely tell the difference between both of them. Yeah. The generational guy is just so much more, I feel like, passionate and experienced.
More of an understanding.
More of an understanding of the pride of the job. Like, you know, walking into a firehouse with a younger generation now, and you're like, hey, listen, we got to, you know, scrub toilets today. And they're like, for free? But it's like, but it's your house. This is your house. This is yours.
Yeah.
And a generational guy, you wouldn't even have to ask him to do that. They'll just be like, oh, it's toilet night.
Or hey, guys, I hit the toilet because it was dirty.
Right. Big difference.
Because that's how it is at the fire, because it is your house, right? Yeah. And when you're there, it's like you got to treat it like it's your own house, because there's nobody – a lot of these firehouses is not a cleaning – the cleaning crew is the same guys that are doing everything else in there as volunteers.
So definitely proud to be a generational firefighter. And, you know, going from Richfield doing 20 years there. 20 years there. I was an EMT in Richfield for quite a number of years before I became a career EMT. And then I moved to Fort Lee for a few years. I was doing Richfield and Fort Lee for a number of years. Then I broke away from Richfield in 2023, stayed with Fort Lee. And like I said, this year was a big move for me to West Milford, you know, to go away from Bergen County and my
Your roots
and, you know, everything I know, really, it really was everything I knew, to a brand new place that is a completely different fire service. And I got to tell you, I absolutely love the fact that I'm relearning the fire service again.
Yeah, you're more rural now. You're definitely more rural.
It's so awesome to be the older new guy, though. I love it. Like, I absolutely love being the older new guy. I'm like, let's go. What are we doing today? Oh, I'm in the back seat. I'm backup man. Cool. Let's go. But the whole no hydrant thing is a whole new world for me. And, you know, listen,
welcome to the world.
Right.
Well, you guys call them tankers or tenders up there?
They're tankers.
We call them tankers too, but if you go to certain areas, technically tankers supposed to be in the air, right?
That's right. Yep. So, you know, a fixed wing vehicle, right? It's a completely different situation now. Now, listen, when I took pump operator, I drafted. Sure, you drafted for the however many days pump operator made you draft. I have not drafted since then. So getting into real drafting, and when I say real drafting, like, that is your hydrant. You are, and that draft site is literally the most important, vital piece of the fire scene now. And it's really cool to be able to get in there and, you know, listen, pumping a truck, to me, a pump is a pump and you can get water out of it. But now it's not just getting water out of it. I'm getting water into it from a source that I'm definitely not used to. But
Static source.
So it's so cool to be able to be learning these things again. And of course, learning the area. I went from a mile and a half square town to West Milford is 89 square miles. I mean, like, forget trying to learn roads. You put it into your GPS, because, I mean, there's some calls I went on a call the other night. It took us 20 minutes to get there.
Especially if you're in the biggest truck because you're not
moving quick,
and you got all these country roads. There's not a straight road in.
Oh yeah, high beams are a huge thing. Fire trucks have the high beams on all the time.
No street lights.
But it's honestly such a welcome change. And the guys, I can't speak enough about the guys. So I joined Macapin Company 4, which is the Black Sheep Company, which I absolutely love that I joined the Black Sheep Company. I mean, what better title for me to move to? But these guys, I can't say enough about them. I started coming around there. We moved July 10th. I started coming around like 2 weeks later because I can't stay away from the fire service. So I got the itch right away.
Started nosing around,
and these guys have been the most welcoming, friendly fire department I have honestly ever run into in quite a long time. They literally took me on immediately. They got me my paperwork, everything done. They wanted me riding right away, obviously, because manpower is an issue in the volunteer fire service. And, you know, they saw that I had all this experience, and they're like, let's get you going. And as much as I have all that experience, it's still such a new thing, and it's so cool. But these guys have literally, like, they bleed brotherhood, and I love it. I have literally been hanging out with these guys almost every weekend since I've been here and just shooting the shit. Talking jobs, driving around, checking out their, my new territory. It's such
your new first do.
How
many companies you got up there?
Six
companies.
Yeah,
90 square miles roughly.
Yes,
that's a big area.
It's a big area, and even the police department. Like, I don't even know how many guys they have on patrol per shift, but it's probably not enough. It's like the Alaskan frontier. It's crazy. Like your backup's 15 minutes away. But it is really cool the way they have the town set up. You have the one company on 23, then company one is on the lower end of Macapin. We're on like the middle side of Macapin, company four, and then six is kind of towards the center of town, and then three and five are like almost like Greenwood Lake and Upper Greenwood Lake. So it's interesting how they have it spread out, but there's so many like nuggets of lakes and streams and like, oh, there's a draft site here, there's a draft site there, there's a draft site. And it's all cool to learn,
yep,
learn the stuff. You know, a decently equipped apartment, and I'm just happy with the change and welcoming it with open arms.
And speaking of, you said you came from a little bit of experience. I mean, you are an ex-chief.
Yeah,
you know, it is a little different, right?
It's a huge difference, and I'm totally happy with just being a Black Shield, sitting in the back, learning, doing the job. I've always, even when I was a chief, I was always a very hands-on chief. It was very hard for me as the chief of department to run scenes because I always wanted to get in there and work alongside my guys. I was never that type of guy to dictate. I always wanted to be working alongside my guys.
How hard is it to sit? I mean, I was a chief too, so it's hard to sit outside when you see the flames licking out and you see the guys going in. You're like, oh man, I really want to be, because that's what you're trained to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you become a people manager and you move up because you're good with people. You learned all the skills. You learn how to manage people, how to manage a scene, but it always go back to, man, I'd love to be back inside.
And you know what? It's not just that. I loved being a battalion chief because you were able to go inside.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing such different things outside the inside. You know, as a chief, I'm seeing flames lick out. Meanwhile, they're making a good knock in. But you got to hope that they're giving me a good report. Yeah.
You gotta trust
which
your
most of my guys did.
They you got to trust your officers inside and your guys inside. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a hard transition going from Black Shield. You know, I was a line officer, lieutenant and captain for quite a long time before I became a chief. And it was a big transition from line officer to chief to be able to stand outside and, call the shots. And you're calling the shots that could potentially get somebody hurt or killed, and that was always a huge thing.
Because your judgment's based on what the feedback you're getting from inside, right?
Correct.
So you're making calls based on, and you're hoping that they're seeing
absolutely
it correctly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what they see inside. Whatever they call out to you, you make the decision. You have to live with that decision, right?
Right.
So, but I get it.
The radio traffic even is a huge difference from Bergen County to where I am now. You know, just listening to a working fire here is huge difference, right? Like I would get a working fire in Richfield or Fort Lee, and you're going to call for a second alarm for, you know, towns to come in. You're going to get, you know, two
backfill your houses,
yeah. Right? Backfill the houses, things like that. Now you get a, you know, you get a chief on scene reporting a working fire. Okay. Now you're going from a 3-company call. You're calling 6 companies yeah. plus mutual aid, starting a tanker task force with a draft site. And I'm just like, this is so cool, man. Like yeah, this is
different.
Like, it's so different, but so necessary at the same time. Like that, like I said, that draft site is so vital. And listening to it on the radio now, it's really, it's a really cool difference.
Well, I think your town is bigger than all of Bergen County.
I think it might be.
If not, it's pretty close.
It's,
I mean,
yeah.
I know we're 72 municipalities in Bergen County, but a lot of them, especially on the eastern end where you are, yeah. they're a mile and a half, 2 miles, you know,
oh, yeah.
square, and that's it. So, yeah. I mean,
you're talking 89 square miles. I mean, it's got to be the size of Bergen County, if not, like you said, pretty damn close.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but so going back to Richfield, you were a mile and a half square, you said?
I think it was like a mile or a mile and a half.
How many companies?
Three. But sure. three, but you're talking, we covered the Turnpike, right? Yep. Covered part of 46. And then
population,
the population difference. Yeah. And not only that, but your density, you know, like here the houses aren't so tight. You don't have to worry about
Your exposures.
You know, your exposures. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. You don't have the exposure problem that you would have in Bergen County where your houses are like 3 feet apart in some areas. You know, I have an acre and a half.
You got to put the water curtain up in Bergen.
You got to put the water curtain up in Bergen. You know, here you got to put a water curtain up so that you don't burn the forest down. You know, like it's a huge difference, you know. But the one thing that I'll give a lot of credit to these guys is they know how to conserve their water, man. They use smoothbore nozzles, but like, you know, open and shut, you know, don't just keep dumping because you don't know if you're running out.
You just got to go back to what's the first thing you learned in the fire school that you can put out a lot of fire with a 2.5.
Water can?
2.5 gallon water can,
yeah.
Right?
You just keep
fire out. Yep. Just keep, yeah. You know, you don't want to hold it down. You got to, you know, keep on and just hitting certain spots and it'll knock the fire down for you. And it's the same concept, right? It's just on a bigger scale.
Yeah. You know, big fire, big water, of course, but you have to really think twice about, you know, how much water you're using now. And it's pretty cool.
I mean, we're lucky in the city. We got the hydrants.
But yeah.
When it comes down to that.
Oh, yeah, you're in a small town too.
Yeah.
And the guys love to break my chops. I love it. They're like, oh, you had those little red things on the street? And I'm like, we had them. What's that like? You know, what's it like to have water, endless water supply?
You know, in my town, so we're kind of – I'm kind of between, right?
Yeah.
We're not really rural, but we're not. And, you know, half the town has hydrants. The other half, we still have a tanker and we have – so we're used to doing that, you know. You tell people, oh, we did an 1,800-foot lay. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Because you had the luxury in Ridgefield and you have the luxury where you are. What is it? How 200 feet to a to any hydrant?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. 100 foot, 200 foot. Yeah.
200, depending where you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, the other day, you know, we had a decent scare in West Milford, and we dropped like 1,500 feet, a 5-inch, just to set up the pool and
just
like,
in case.
Just in case.
And yeah, it's like, just in case, and it's like,
thank God it was a cool day. It was nice to cool out, but you're like, but it's a normal thing. It's a regular thing to just drop that much hose because that's what you have to do.
Now, do you guys have that adapter that goes on some of the pickup trucks that you could just wall it up?
No, but the guys were – so we were packing the hose the other day and we're on top of the truck going, man, we should just pool our money together and buy one of those things.
I've seen those. Yeah. Just – I've seen videos of Ohio and all that with them dropping
thousands of feet. Yeah, I don't think it would ever get that crazy. At least I hope not. I mean, I would have to ask the West Milford guys, you know, to go back in their history a little bit. But I'm sure they dropped quite a few thousand. I don't know how crazy it gets, but I'm sure quite a few thousand is a normal thing.
We've been in Ringwood twice, standing by for West Milford when they've had those big brush fires and stuff like that.
Yeah, last year. It was last year or 2 years ago.
Last year. I want to say there was
four days, right, of
yeah.
Yeah, of brush fires. Those guys were breaking their butts.
We were covering it because we have one of the few tankers in the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah, right, exactly.
You know, we have one of the few in Bergen County. And
yeah.
You know, so it was we got called and we were like, going where?
Yeah, Heldon got called too. They went all the way down to Heldon.
That's another new thing. You know, like we always had booster lines in Bergen County. Of course, you know, it was your trash line, trash line, or your backup lines for a car fire, right?
The Detroit Red Line?
Detroit Red Line, right. But now, you know, forestry line is a whole new thing, you know, and the Forestry Service up here is a very active entity. Of course, they're already poking the bear and trying to get me over there. And I'm like, let me get my feet wet first here before I start.
Are you
going to
get the,
like,
big Smokey the Bear hat?
Yeah, man. You know, before I start carrying, you know, pickaxes and chainsaws and stuff, let me get my feet wet with the drafting and maybe we'll talk about the Forestry Service.
Do you look good in a yellow shirt?
No.
Because they wear those yellows, you know, those yellow shirts,
not.
Right?
Yeah.
Green pants.
Definitely not my color. I'm a darker, you know, neutral guy. Yellow, I'm going to look like, you know, a mini sun over here, you know?
He'd look good in a yellow shirt.
And especially with the head. Can you imagine the sunburn I would have with a yellow shirt?
That's why you need the big Smokey the Bear hat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of them big trooper hats.
Yeah.
With a cigar.
I don't know if I should be smoking a cigar during a forest fire. It probably wouldn't look too good on a, you know, front page of the paper.
You set up the water supply in the lake, right?
Yeah.
I'll just hold the 5-inch right
That's
here,
it.
Guys,
I
for
got
you.
It. I'll be right here. But yeah, so a welcome change to my life. And I mean, this is going to be my life now. You know, this is my forever home. I don't plan on going anywhere else until I retire. And when that happens, I'll be going north. Unlike most people, like the warm weather, I love the cold. So I will be going north to either.
You can send me a postcard then.
Yeah,
I'm
Lake
going,
George or Vermont.
I'm going the other way.
I'm a snow guy. Bury me in the snow. Then you know what? You can always put more clothes on.
But you
can't. When it's cold. If you take too much off when it's hot, you get arrested.
Well, listen.
Well, if you're in West Milford, you don't have people around to do that.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you. I can tell you.
See, if you're in the woods, and especially me, like they'll just think it's Sasquatch. It's cool.
Well, I think it's a family trait for you because your brother walks around, and he's like,
always
it's 50
pouring off you.
It's 50 degrees outside. I'm like, Jimmy, it's not that hot out. He's like, he's like, it's warm out today, and I'm like, it's kind of actually. I'm just thinking about putting a sweatshirt on.
So I posted a picture not too long ago of. My father, back in the day, he always had not a kitchen towel, but a bath towel around his neck. Every fire, you ask anybody, he had a towel around his neck. It could have been 15 degrees outside. There's actually a picture of him shoveling snow in shorts and a guinea tee with a towel around his neck because he was sweating. You knew something was wrong when he stopped sweating. And like me and my brother are the same way. So I was pumping out a call in Fort Lee. I want to say it was last year. It was like the 4th of July, I want to say, a couple of years ago maybe. And somebody snapped a picture of me on the pump panel. And I had the towel around my neck. And they're like, look. And of course, the bald head, like my old man. The bald head is my old man. If you guys don't know, this is all Big Jim.
I've seen the pictures, yeah.
Yeah. So somebody snapped a picture of me and I posted it next to the picture of him with his towel. And people were like, holy God, man. That is
the resemblance
a spitting
is,
image. And I'm like, you know what? If I look like my dad, I'll be all right. As long as I look like my brother. Sorry, Jim.
How did he – what happened? He got blessed with the hair?
He got blessed with the hair, but then he shaves it. You know, like I – oh, see, I don't want to be censored here, but there's so many things I can say. And he buzzes it, which like he could do what Nick does and look like a distinguished gentleman. But he just shaves it.
That's because he's always sweating. He wants
less hair. Well, that's what
less
it
hair,
is.
Right?
Less hair,
you can run that towel through real quick too.
Yes,
so.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. We'll have to get him a 1075 and
ginger
logo
slick
towel.
Back.
Ginger slick back. Can you imagine? Like, you know.
Yeah.
He would look pretty funky though.
Ginger.
I wouldn't even know what to say. Like, I wouldn't even recognize
grow out
him.
Grow out his beard and just. Like
he should do like the guy that sings that Richmond song with the long red beard and then do the slick back. Oh, that would look sick.
I told him that when he had the hair and the beard, I said he looked like Yukon Cornelius.
yes.
He didn't like that I said that, but he does look like you could see it, right? The cartoon character.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Matter of fact, I think my wife, she's a big crochet person. Can I give her a shout out?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mean Right Hook Crochet on Instagram. Is my wife. She got into it this year, and she's actually going to be making him a Yukon Cornelius like stuffy.
Oh, that's great.
It's awesome.
That's great. Because I told him, I go, you look like Yukon. No, I don't.
So she made me a Yeti because I'm always hot. So she made me the Yeti. So she's going to make him the Yukon Cornelius. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's going to be like it's.
What character are you going to get?
Oh, maybe Hermie.
Hermie. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, we got to dye his hair blonde.
Yeah, it could be Hermie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You look good as a Hermie.
I don't know who Hermie is.
He's independent.
You never watch Christmas cartoons,
Do we even know what we're talking about?
No.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Come on, man. Claymation?
Homie the you're dentist? Killing me,
Nick. Yeah.
Yes! Oh, the dentist, okay. Yes.
Now I know what you're talking about.
I'm going to be a dentist. Yeah, come on.
I'm going to be a dentist. Yes. You got to do the costume for Christmas, dude.
Yeah, you and Jimmy can come to the Christmas party. He can come as Yukon Cornelius.
And you come as Hermie. Yes. Okay. And then you got to get somebody. Although those are the only two people, right? Everything else. Then you have Rudolph. Who else is in that group?
I'll have to come as the.
As the Abominable.
Well, maybe Ryan will come as Abominable.
Come as the Abominable.
I'll have to be the old snowman.
Perfect.
Right? Because I'm the old guy, so I'll have to be the old snowman.
Yeah, he doesn't have a name, though. I think he's just like Father Time or something, right? Because he's got the pocket watch hanging.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now I got to go back and watch that.
Now you got to do an episode with all you guys dressed like that. You know that, right? Definitely. You got to do a Christmas episode.
We'll put it on the list.
Are you guys all paying attention over here?
We'll put it on the list.
All right. Christmas episode.
So.
I can make another guest appearance.
Yeah, because you're going to have to come with somebody. You're going to have to be one of the characters of the cast of characters.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. I could be one of the misfit toys, maybe. The fire truck with the block wheels.
The square wheels.
Yeah, right. We'll figure something out.
Or you could be the character in the box. It wasn't a Jack in the Box.
It was a Charlie in the box.
Charlie in the Box. That's it. Wow, you really were a Christmas movie guy, right? Oh,
that's one thing that, you know, I belong to a lake association now, not a homeowners association, big difference. You know, they're very happy that we moved into the neighborhood. And I'm like, wait till you see Christmas. I'm like, they're going to see my house from space. Like, I am a huge Christmas guy. You know, I've been one of Santa's helpers for many, many years, right? So I do Santa every Christmas. And matter of fact, of course, the guys in West Milford, Company 4, heard about that. And they're like, well, Santa.
We've got Santa for next year's run,
and
right?
They found out about my getup. So I don't wear a Santa suit anymore unless it's a special event. I wear fire gear, and I have a North Pole Santa Claus helmet with shield. And so I usually just put the beard on with the fire gear because Santa's a firefighter at the North Pole. And they absolutely love that idea. So, West Milford, Santa's coming.
How many days of Santa do you guys have to do up there to cover 89 square miles?
So, obviously, you know,
each company
does their own thing. But I think my company only does one long day.
Yeah, it's got to be a long day. That's a lot of driving around.
It's a lot of driving around. But they split the company. They take one engine and do one side and take the other and do the other. So, yeah, I have an engine, a tanker, and a rescue in my house, which is really
cool. I was going to ask you that.
Jack of all trades kind of thing, which I'm used to. You know, I was in a rescue company in Ridgefield, engine and a squad in Fort Lee. So, love the
little bit of experience everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Love doing the rescue stuff.
So what do you guys, you guys aren't first due on 23 though, right?
We are not first due on 23. First due on 23 is Company 2.
Okay.
I forget the name of their, I think it's Community Firehouse. So each firehouse has a name. Like
yep.
Company 1 is Apshua. Company 4 is the Black Sheep. I can't think of all of them. I'm still learning.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. But we'll get there.
It's a work in progress, right?
Yeah. It was nice coming here today. I didn't even have to get on a highway to come here. I just came down the mountain road.
Come down the mountain.
You know?
I mean, it's I guess getting you through the front door was the biggest thing for them. Once you wandered through the front door, they were like, come on in. Because, you know, I know everybody's hurting for volunteers. And have somebody with a little experience and have somebody who knows what they're doing and has the training already, it's a home run for any volunteer fire company.
Without a doubt, yeah. You know, it's no different when I was in Ridgefield and you had a guy move to town that came from another town that was a firefighter. You were like, oh, I don't have to send you to fire school. Here's your black shield, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a home run. And same thing in Fort Lee.
A little in-house.
Somebody that's trained. Little in-house training.
Little in-house. Make sure they know how to use their air pack. Make sure they're good. They know the radio communications. That's like, here you go.
You're good to go. Yeah. Obviously, you know, a young kid is great to have, but you got to send them to school. You know, and now, unless they do the summer program, you know, like
7 months, school, 7 months,
7 months at night, twice a week, or I think they do Saturdays now.
They added some Saturdays. Yeah. It's almost 7 months with even some County, Saturdays.
I found out does some Sundays, which I thought was interesting.
So yeah, Passaic does Tuesdays, Thursdays, and all day Sundays.
That's interesting.
And that's kinda, that's I when like I that. When I went to academy, that was when they.
I
did
always
it.
Thought Saturdays was rough because you know, like Saturday was always like family day for yeah. a lot of people. So Sundays, you know, unless you're you know a churchgoer or something like that, Sundays works for most people, which is pretty cool that they do that because you bang out some more classes. So how long does it take in Passaic County to?
So it takes. So I think I did July. No, I started in April, and then we ended in November.
That's not bad. That's not too bad because you're doing technically four classes a week.
Yeah.
That's not too
bad. Yeah, because the Sunday gives you the doubles.
Gives you the double.
But you didn't do every Sunday. Did you do every Sunday?
Yeah, and then you really? Were off for the holidays.
Well, yeah.
It was 8 to 3, depending.
Oh, yeah. So you pretty much got two classes in. Interesting.
Because, yeah, I mean, I know we just had a couple guys in Bergen go, and it was like two Saturdays a month they were there for the
– So it cuts it down a little bit.
Yeah,
because it was 9 months.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then they threw the Saturdays in and brought it down.
Yeah, it's
a
crazy.
Bit.
I mean, when I went, it was. Well, I went back. You know, it was, I think, 85 hours of training. Now, and when you went, it was probably about 130, maybe 140,
something like that. But when my old man went, it was like 2 or 3 days.
We have got. So we still have a couple guys.
Basic firefighting.
We have basic firefighting. We have two guys yeah. in our fire company that still have that basic firefighting certificate.
So West Milford, my company, they have some pretty cool history. They have the original basic firefighting book, and it's like it looks like a small coloring book. It's crazy. But it's like – I want to say it's like –
a leaflet.
Yeah, it's a leaflet. It's like 20 pages.
Wow.
It's insane. It's literally like fire, water, and –
And
know,
now the book's like this big.
Oh, I don't even know. I think it's like 300 or 400 pages now. It's crazy.
Plus hazmat.
And plus hazmat, and plus then, ICS, plus
so
all –
So like my
you
girlfriend
know.
Went a couple of years ago, and they added like 3-4 more classes. On top of that,
yeah,
it's insane.
It's a lot, you know, especially for a volunteer. You know, career guys, you're getting paid to go, and that's the fantastic. I think that's you know best job in the world. Good for you guys, but as a volunteer to be learning all that material, it's a lot of material to learn and absorb while you're working a full time job or going to school or doing something. So I give the volunteers today that are coming into the fire service a lot of credit because you're. It's a big undertaking compared to 21 years ago when I went to Fire One and you were done with Fire One in 3 weeks during the day. It's crazy. Huge difference.
Yeah, it is a huge difference.
Even my EMT. I took my EMT at 16. It was 120 hours, something like that. I think now it's 300.
It's 340 or 360 hours. It's some crazy number.
It's
and
a lot.
And that's the reason you're losing volunteers, right? Because,
yes.
You know, I mean, we see it at our firehouse. Guy comes to the door. He's like, yeah, I'm interested. And you tell him, like, what they got to go through. They're like, oh, I got to think about this. Like,
yeah, I got family. I got this. I got a full-time job.
I work. Yeah, I work. I get home at 6 o'clock at night. The last thing I want to do is, you know,
sit
come home.
Class for 4 hours.
7 to 11,
yeah.
Sit in a classroom
yep.
two nights a week.
And then go back to work in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot to ask somebody. That's why, you know, you really got to bring in the younger generation that – doesn't have all that responsibility that can bang it out in the summer, that might not have a summer job or need a summer job, and then you know you just get them rolled in.
Yeah, but I think the state needs to do something too. They need to work on their end to make it more palatable for volunteers.
1,000%
and
agree with that.
Even if it's doing different modules or some online learning, some mm-hmm. I mean
they're doing that with EMT now. They're doing online, even with, from what I understand, with paramedics, they're doing a lot of online modules, and then you go in for like a lab.
And that's what the fire service should be.
Huge,
I mean, listen, I get the hands-on portion.
Thing.
The hands-on's the hands-on, but do I have to go there two nights a week for the next 5 months to learn everything, or can I learn some of it remotely and then maybe go in on a Sunday
right.
and have a lab and kind of go over those last 2 weeks of everything I learned
yeah.
and kind of do some self-guided learning. So maybe I'll do it, you know, an hour Monday, an hour Tuesday, an hour Wednesday, an hour Thursday instead of me having to be stuck somewhere.
And you know what? I know it's probably crazy talk, but I feel like the hands-on is so much more important.
It is.
Especially for a beginner firefighter. Do you really need to know about friction loss and angles and things like that? No, you need to know how to throw ladders. You need to know how to stretch hose because you're not going to be the guy on the pump. And if you are, then you got to go back to pump operator. You know, I think the the schooling really has gotten a little out of hand, and we need to get back to basics and the bread and butter of the fire service and hands getting dirty, hands getting on hose lines, and the basics of firefighting to keep yourself safe, get yourself home to your families. That's it. And then if you want to go into more, you go into more. But that's just my humble
opinion. Well, and some of it should be on the fire company, right? So
yeah.
In-house training, right?
In-house is huge.
We had a guy graduate the fire academy who they said they never hit a hot fire hydrant in the academy.
That's
because it was always hooked up for them because
the
instructors
had hooking it up
because they had a certain window of opportunity to get everything that they had to cover that night, and that just wasn't a priority. Because you ask a guy, hey, listen, can you hit the hydrant? And he's like, well, they never taught us that in fire school. I'm like, you just spent 9 months or 8 months at fire school and they never told you how to hit a hydrant. Yeah. Like,
I think that's the most important thing. You don't got water, you're not putting anything out.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that again, you know, me being a generational firefighter, that's where that comes in again.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how to hit a hydrant when I was 12 years old. You know,
you could have ran down the street and hit it for him,
right?
And freed up a guy.
It's crazy. Like I was changing. I would go to fires. My mom would drive us down to the fire scene, and me and my brother. You know, I hope the state's not listening, but I don't care. It's years ago. Doesn't matter now. We were changing bottles out. We were changing cylinders out for guys. They were coming out, and they would come to us as kids, knowing we could do it
because they trusted us. They knew what you were doing.
Versus going to somebody that, you know, maybe didn't know what they were doing. They were a new firefighter. They would be like, no, where's little Jimmy or little Dave? Change out my cylinder, you know? And we would do it, you know, whatever, real quick, and back they go, you know? But there was a lot less rules back then. You know, you didn't have the hot zone rules you have now, which I do understand. But you had a lot more freedom on the fire scene. And we were because of that freedom, we were able to learn a lot more at a younger age. I believe in the Explorer programs completely. This brings in these young firefighters. They get to start learning the fire service, whether they like it or not, things like that. You know, this way, when they turn 16 or 17, they're like, you know what? Nah, this isn't for me. Instead of wasting all that time in fire school and then finding out it's not for them. It's a big difference.
It'd be nice to have it as a trade program through high school.
Oh, I've always said that. They should have like a work release program.
Work study.
Work releases
if you're in prison, yeah. But okay, yeah, that's fine. Work study's more what we're looking for.
Be prison for certain kids, yeah, you know? You're right. I mean, like I wasn't a big school guy, you know.
But if you had a work study to go to the fire academy, you'd be all
my
over.
Glory.
Yeah.
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 And a lot of guys go on to be paid firemen that are volunteers. So I mean, it's not, listen, college isn't for everybody. We know that. Trade school isn't for everybody, but something like that. I mean, if you offered EMT and firefighting as part of a trade school program, maybe you get some kids. Maybe they don't get through the whole thing, but they get portions of it. And then again, the whole module concept, right? So you start junior, you get this module. Senior, you get this. And then by the time you graduate, or maybe 6 months after you graduate, you're Fire One certified and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, just doing different modules, and the state has to look at the way they do things. And you know, we're not gonna resolve anything here. But
of course not.
But you know,
I only did one semester of college. You know, it just wasn't for me. And look, you know, I landed in a really great place. I work for the Port Authority in New York, New Jersey. As a first responder, tunnel and bridge agent is the title. We're a first responder. You know, I'm at the George Washington Bridge, and I don't have a college degree. I don't believe you need a college degree to do things like this. Like you said, a plumber doesn't have a college degree, an electrician. It's no different than a firefighter and police officer. Majority of them do not have college degrees. They have a trade.
Yep.
Your trade is a police officer. My trade's a firefighter. I think it's something that the country really needs to take a look at. We have plenty of college-educated people. We need to start bringing back our trades again.
Yeah, and for years it was like, ugh, why are you going to go be a plumber? Ugh, why are you going to be an electrician? They're making more money than a lot of kids coming out of college nowadays.
Let me tell you, they're some of the first people that I called when I bought my house.
And they have a lot less debt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Trade school debt is nowhere near, you know, a four-year college debt, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a minimal investment.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if we want – I mean – we're in New Jersey. Our taxes are high to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, where are we going? You know, if we have to go to paid services around here, where are your taxes going? They're going to go up another 20%. They're going to have to.
Sure.
Who's going to pay the firefighters, the EMTs?
Yeah.
You know, and so if you can stave that off by offering some programs for guys that maybe aren't going to go to college, hey, listen, I'll be a volunteer. I can get a little stipend. Some of these programs will hire, it will allow you to volunteer in their town and make a nice stipend, even though you don't live there, because they have live-in programs and stuff like that. Yeah. They're starting to get a little more progressive. I think Fort Lee has something like that, right?
Well, Fort Lee has the stipend program, which is phenomenal. I mean, they really do.
Do you have to be a resident or?
So for they have a residency bonus. So you can make the stipend without being a resident, but if you live in town, you get more. So it's almost like an incentive to move to town, pretty much. But yeah, no, their stipend program is definitely what's retaining that fire department. You know, it's a phenomenal program. And because of that, Fort Lee is pretty well staffed.
And you're talking about a town that's basically on the other side of the George Washington Bridge.
It's the sixth borough.
Yeah, it's really heavily heavily populated.
Yeah, I did a duty shift last night and we did 7 calls after midnight. It was busy. It's a busy town, but they do it right. They do the duty shifts where you have to stay at the firehouse, you know, from a certain time of the day. Overnight and things like that, and different companies on duty every week. You know, they figured it out. They have some sort of a solution to the problem. But not every town can afford that.
But if they had to go paid, it would be it'd be a lot worse than what they're paying now, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You're talking benefits, pensions, things like that.
Yep.
Huge difference.
You were just going to talk about Maryland. I know you mentioned that. So
no, Maryland's got for years, even since I was a kid. They have those live-in programs where, you know, you're living in the firehouse instead of paying a dorm, room and board.
Pennsylvania's got a lot of those. Pennsylvania, Maryland, yep. Delaware, and Virginia, all big on it.
Yep. And look at those fire services. They're doing phenomenal. You know,
I think that's awesome, because you could get someone going to college for 5 years. You have someone at least for 5 years, that's golden.
And you're right. You know you have them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you're always getting new people that are going to be there for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always going to get somebody that doesn't want to pay room and board that'll sleep at the firehouse. Absolutely.
And a lot of those programs, if you see the like, so they were popular years ago, but they weren't known about. Mm-hmm. Now with the internet and stuff like that, they're more well known.
Yeah, social media has blown up. Absolutely.
And I think you look at some of them, they're 10 times nicer than any dorm room you could live in.
Oh,
you're getting
yeah.
single room living.
Yeah. Commercial kitchen.
Yeah, and you're getting a nice room. I mean, you know, it's not – you're not getting an apartment, but you're getting a studio.
Yeah, you're not doing a gang shower. You know, I think that's still a thing in colleges. I don't even know if it is or not. They don't have private showers, right? They still
don't have gang showers. It depends on the dorm setups. But, yeah, I mean, my son just looked at it. We just went on a visit the other day, and it was, you know, the showers are set up. It's four single stalls, but you're in, you know –
Yeah,
you're still in the –
You're not in privacy. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have your privacy.
Where you're in the firehouse, and for the most part – You got your own shower.
You got your own shower, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot different. And then to not have the pay, I mean, I think I looked at the price of room and board. It was almost $10,000.
For room and board. So is he doing that? Is he going to do the firefighting deal?
No, he's not. He's not into the firefighting thing. So, but you know,
it's not for everybody. And as long as he knows it, that's cool.
Yeah. My other son, he lucked out. He got a scholarship to play baseball, and the scholarship was enough to cover his room and board. So I was like, hey, perfect. Perfect. That's good. And, you know, so, you know, my little guy, he wants to play baseball too in college, but he, you know, we'll see where he goes. So
good deal.
But if you got colleges, and we have colleges around here, we have Ramapo College right down the road.
Yeah.
We have William Patterson not too far away. I mean, it could work. The problem is that somebody's got to put money into these firehouses to put in housing, and that's a big cost in the state of New Jersey, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're starting from the bottom, and I can't even imagine the undertaking to get that going.
Yeah, because it's you know, it's once you put in housing, then it's sprinkling in the buildings.
Yeah,
it's different. You know, it's different codes you have to meet. So
I mean, there was towns in Bergen County, you think about it, that went from career departments to volunteers back in the day. You know,
Cliffside Park comes
Cliffside
to mind.
Cliffside Park, yeah.
Yeah.
They were a paid department, or actually they weren't a paid department. They were a co-op. They had paid guys and volunteers.
Yeah, they were one of those combination departments.
And
yeah.
And then they went 100% volunteer. And now you wonder if like the town thinks about maybe we should have kept it co-op, because now it's starting to hurt. And you know what? That co-op situation, like a Bergenfield, is probably what a lot of towns are going to be looking at in the very near future.
Well, you know, the reason I think they did that was, as you know, as a town, your taxes start to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where are we going to make cuts? And like you said, it's not just the salaries; it's the benefits,
the pension. Yeah.
You know, when you're paying all that, it starts to get up there. So I mean, yeah, at some point there's going to be some regionalized.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, so you know, us and three other towns may have a regionalized where we have some career guys on, staffing an engine and a
ladder.
Probably
going to be like a per diem deal. I think Creskill has something going on like that, where they have, you know, some full-time guys, some per diem guys. And from what I understand, it's a very successful program. So who knows where it's going to go.
South Jersey has a lot of that too.
A lot of that, yeah.
They have a lot of the per diem guys down there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's crazy when you think about, you know, where we are in the country, how populated we are, and we thankfully we rely heavily on volunteers, and thankfully they still come out.
Yeah,
I mean, but at some point the well's starting to dry up. It's starting to dry up slowly, and it's because of the fact that, you know, people just don't have the time to volunteer anymore.
That's exactly it.
You know, so I mean, you know, I know your brother, like you talk about, he was a big time volunteer, and you know, his life changed, right? Kids and stuff like that. And that's his priority in life.
And that's it. Right. It absolutely changes. You know, I forget how many years he did. 19 years as the, in the Fire Prevention Bureau. I think he did 19 years with the fire department as well. But yeah, we were line officers together at one point. Well, God, we fought like cats and dogs.
Boy, am I not surprised at that.
Yeah. But you know, it's a pleasure being closer to him now. We've grown closer over the years. You know, we lost both of our parents in 2018, 2019, and all that did was just bring us closer together. And now that we live closer together, I get to see him a lot more often.
See
and
the niece
right
and...
now, that's a good thing. I don't know.
You see your niece. You get to see your niece and nephew,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Go swimming with them, fishing, you know, everything like that.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's going to be great for many, 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 many years to come, and I look forward to it all.
Yeah, and your wife, she's closer to some family now too, right?
Yeah, so we're literally like smack in the middle of everyone. So we're 25 minutes to my brother, we're 13 minutes to her parents, and 15 minutes to her sister. It's like awesome. We're like right smack.
Yeah,
in the
so you can and you don't have to deal with that Bergen County, Eastern Bergen County traffic now.
So I still got to go to work, but my hours are very good. I'm steady days at the bridge, so I get to work by 5:30 in the morning. So I'm not hitting anything. And coming home, I'm going opposite, so it's great. But yeah, the Eastern Bergen County traffic, I don't think there's a person in anywhere in Bergen County that would tell you they enjoy it. It is absolutely atrocious.
It's pretty much Paramus and East it just becomes brutal. Anything from that 17 on over 17 and 4,
horrible.
It's just horrible. It's brutal.
It's so it's so densely populated now, and the congestion is just getting worse and worse, and buildings just keep going up and up and up, and it's like, where are you putting these people? And the traffic's just insanity. But I now have that benefit of not having to worry about that when I'm off anymore. I literally can go see my brother without getting on a highway, and
you go right out your back door to your lake,
right out the back door to the lake. And the firehouse is, you know, 3 or 4 minutes away.
In-laws aren't too far away if you got to go visit.
In-laws are right down the road, and it's great having everybody close, because if something happens now, we're all close together. So
yeah, because I mean, for you to get to your brother, even though mileage wise it wasn't a lot when you guys were, it had to be an hour.
It was an hour and 5 to get to him, and then it was usually like going home was like an hour and 20 because of traffic.
Just the way traffic flows.
Yeah, and that was like we would wait to leave until it was like 7 or 8 o'clock at night
to try and get that little bit of. The hope for the lull in the traffic, right?
Yeah. Because if we left his house at like 6, forget it. I might as well just park the car.
And what's it, 35 miles?
Something like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's crazy, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah. When I go down to North Carolina to my house down there, and I tell people like you can pay $80 to end up going to Long Island, it could take you 4 hours to get there, and it's 50 miles. People are like, are you people crazy? And I'm like, yeah, we are. We're just in a super congested area, and it's just I think, you know, at some point you just become used to it, right? It's just part of life.
There's a guy I work with at the bridge that lives on the eastern end of Long Island, and it's like a 2-hour ride in for sometimes for him. It's crazy.
So you just touched on it, but so you're at the bridge with the Port Authority, right? You're a bridge and tunnel agent. What do you
tunnel
do?
Tunnel and bridge agent.
Oh, sorry, tunnel and bridge.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to upset the MTA.
So I know you guys do a little firefighting, you do some rescue work, you do a little bit of everything, including towing and pushing things out of off the bridge, right?
So basically the role of a tunnel and bridge agent at the George Washington Bridge, the Lincoln Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel, is to keep traffic flowing no matter what it is, right?
At all costs.
Accident, you're going to treat patients, get the cars out of the way. Fire, you're going to put the fire out, get the car out of the way. Disabled vehicle, you're not going to figure it out. You're just going to get it out of the way. And then Staten Island Bridges, they just do the desk, the dispatching there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's the role. So you're a jack of all trades, and I mean that in every sense of the words. You literally can be a tow operator all day long. You could be a tow operator. You could be doing medical. You could be doing fire, all within 2 hours of each other. It's honestly, I'm blessed to be at the job I am. You know, besides the hours, I would love if we did 24s. It would be, you know, then it would be like just a huge lottery winner.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome job. You do something different every day. You know, you walk into work and there's some days where you'll sit there and you do this. You sit around the kitchen table and you just shoot the shit and talk about life and solve the world's problems, which is an awesome day. And then there's some days you walk in and 2 minutes after roll call, you're going to a 200-gallon diesel spill that's blocking all lanes of traffic. And you got to get up there and you got to mitigate the situation and get traffic flowing.
And the Port Authority police and the management, they don't want to hear it. They just want to get – you got to get traffic moving.
Let's go.
It's got to get moving.
Let's go.
Yeah, you know? you're in a major artery.
You know, they obviously understand the situations. Like if you have, you know, jackknife tractor trailer with two cars underneath it, you know, they know it's going to be a few. You know, we're not miracle workers, nope. But we do work as fast as possible to get things done.
So you have a specific assignment for that day? Like, are you in a tow truck, or you could be going from the tow truck to the fire truck to
exactly?
You just so whatever they need.
You do get assigned a vehicle for the day. So majority of the time, unless you're a crew chief, crew chief's always assigned the heavy wrecker and the fire truck. If he goes out on a heavy wrecker call and a fire comes in, you got to jump out of your truck, jump in the fire truck, and go. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So, but most of the time, you're either in a medium duty wheel lift or a flatbed, and you always have fire gear with you. There's an SCBA in the truck. There's a combi tool, hydraulic combi tool in the truck. So you're literally, you know, carrying a bunch of different things, and of course, medical bag.
Yep.
You know, AED, the whole nine.
You're the jack of all trades.
The jack of all trades. But yeah, no. So as much as I'm assigned this truck for the day, that can change in minutes. All right, now you're driving the heavy wrecker. Oh, nope, now you're driving the fire truck. Nope, now you're driving the mini pumper. You know, like it's.
And how long have you been doing that for?
I just finished my ninth year.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I get a nice bump next year at 10 years. I get a nice little bump, and I get another week vacation. It's
Aren't you vested? Nice. Is it 10 years to vest too or not?
So they actually changed it in the middle of my time there. I vested at 5. Yeah.
That's a home run.
But it's a New York State-based pension. It's not Jersey, so it's a big difference.
Yeah, you guys they have a better pension.
We have a great pension. Great pension, great benefits. They actually just put the job out there. It just closed, I want to say, a week ago. So
I saw your post on Facebook. I know a couple guys that are there, you know.
Oh, yeah. I got quite a few guys that have gotten on the job after me. And like I said, you know, you're going to complain about any job you work at, but we are very blessed to be working where we're working and doing what we're doing.
I'm sure there's days where you laugh all day long, and then there's days that if you were Nick, you'd pull all your hair out.
Oh, there's definitely, especially in the summertime on the bridge, like that blacktop, it just bakes under your feet. I mean, your shoes start to melt to the blacktop sometimes. And that's when you're cursing the job. But then there's days where it's nice and cool, and you're, you know, mid-span on the bridge, and it's a gorgeous day, and you know
you're not climbing those poles,
sir.
Right?
Okay. No, sir.
I've seen those guys go up there to paint and stuff like that.
Yeah, my buddy's a bridge painter. God bless them. They get hazard pay. Those guys are like, they legitimate. Like when you talk about work rules, they have to have the right wind speed, temperature. But yeah, they have the two tie offs. So when they're going up the cables and they hit like that. The turnbuckle.
Yeah,
they got to unclip one, then unclip the other. I'm like, no, sir, not for me. Nope, you could do that. And to get the job, you got to free fall into a net.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm over that already.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. As soon as he told me that's what he had to do, like you got to do the arms over the chest and fall backwards, no less. Like you can't even watch what's happening.
Oh. I'm good.
I'm good. It's all you.
I'm good. I don't even like doing bailout. I mean, come on.
I mean, really.
So,
let alone falling. And then the free fall is not like a 10-foot off the ground free fall. You're up the top tower or something up there, and you're doing the free fall into a safety net. Like,
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
I mean, it's a cool sight to be up there, but
yeah, I can imagine. It's got to be brutal. It's got to be brutal on the legs too, all that up and down.
Oh yeah,
Yeah. It's a lot of climbing. Yeah. A lot
of climbing, but those guys are in awesome shape.
I've seen those guys up there, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can, you know. And they probably get paid a ton of money because, like you said, it's hazard pay. Yeah, so.
They do. And you know what? They earn every penny of it. So God bless you. I'll be down on the ground. I'll be dealing with my disabled vehicles and my car fires and, you know, rescues.
If you need water, let me know.
That's it.
So that's great. So what are the future plans? Anything on the horizon? Going to run for chief up there at the company four?
I think you're getting way ahead of yourself there. And I think if my wife was here, she'd probably throw something at you. But listen, you know what? As far as the fire service goes with me, I don't ever know what the future holds. I love learning, so that's one thing I'll never stop doing is learning. And if sometime in the future, you know, I'm there enough and I earn the guy's trust, and they want to make me a line officer or further, then so be it. Otherwise, I'll be happy sitting in the back seat going to jobs.
I'm going to tell you right now, it is. I've been through all the ranks, and I'm back as captain. And I want to say, I don't know, last year at some point, we were going to a car fire, and our assistant chief happened to be at the firehouse. He's like, oh, I'm going to ride with you guys. I'm like, rode in the back seat. I was like, wow, this is great. I didn't have to answer the radio. Yeah. I didn't have to do anything but put an air pack on and get told what tool to grab when I got out of the engine. That's like, this is great.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world.
Whole different world.
So yeah, enjoy it while you can, because I'm sure with your knowledge and your experience, they're going to be suckering you into something soon.
You never know, but I'm happy to offer whatever I can to these guys, and they know that I'm there to work alongside them. That's for sure.
You can be a lake water rescue guy.
Yeah,
with your little, get your paddle out, right, and you'll be doing lake rescues.
I'll be WM Marine 24 or whatever you want to call me in my orange tube.
That's great. Yeah. So, but what else you got, Nick? Anything?
Nick's been pretty quiet.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's been mesmerized by two guys with no hair.
Yeah.
So
I think taking all the experience in,
as you should, and listen. It's an awesome thing to sit back and listen to older guys talk about the old days and jobs and things like that. I love just sitting there and having a drink and just listening.
Well, you can equate this to the firehouse table, right?
Without a doubt.
This is very similar when you get a bunch of firemen. When you get the firemen together, you get four or five firemen around this table. It's just like being at the kitchen table.
Yes.
It's a little different nowadays, though, because like we're at drill and we have this big kitchen table that we have. And you know what I notice a lot of? And I'm like, you know, we're at the kitchen table, and we're all guilty of it because I am too, at times. But you know, it's almost like you need a rule. Hey, once you sit down at the kitchen table,
you got to put your phone down.
Put the phone down.
Yeah.
If it's an emergency, you can answer it.
Unless we need the Google machine for something, you know.
Which Nick hasn't pulled out his Google machine.
No,
what were you Googling?
When?
What were you supposed to Google? What did we talk about earlier?
Well, we ended up answering it. The
Miley
the,
Cyrus is dead.
Oh, that. Yes.
Oh yeah, we gave him the answer to that. Yeah, that was we cheated.
So how many years are you doing in the fire service now, Nick?
Seven. And right now I am a captain in Posh Park. So I run in the office a lot.
Attaboy.
So
good for you, man. You 7 years and you're already a boss. That's awesome.
You drive too?
I do drive.
They let you drive?
Yeah.
I've seen the way you drive. I don't know if I let you drive.
Drive a Quint. Got a Quint.
Quint.
Nice. In the other house, I'm on Puss Park, and I'm also on Howden.
Oh, wow. Keep yourself busy. So I see you're like me. You keep yourself busy.
Yep.
How you like being a boss?
I like it, but I also miss the backseat.
Sure. Especially being a young officer, man. You're only 7 years in, and being a boss is a huge step.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I've been fortunate, and I've been pushed into the – not pushed, but I've been pushed into the office seat because of low manpower.
Okay.
And the experience is awesome, honestly. Good. Just being able to teach the newer guys and still learning myself as an officer is just amazing.
Good. Good for you. Keep it up, dude.
It's not easy.
It goes quick.
It's not easy, too, to be a young boss because you get one of those old school firemen in the back seat. They're like, what is this kid now, right?
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've gone through my ups and downs with certain guys. It's like they're like, I've been on here for 9 years and you're telling me what to do. I'm like, but you're not even learning how to drive the truck. Yeah. So
you're always going to have those mixed personalities.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about as far as older guys go, I mean like your veterans, right? Lean on them, man. Like I used to joke around. I had a senior advisory committee when I was a chief, right? And it was all former chiefs that were mentors mm-hmm. of mine. You know, and I'm going to mention their names because I know they don't mind. Guys like Joey Greco, right? I think he's got 45 years in the fire service now. Huge mentor of mine, you know, alongside my dad. Pete O'Connor, Donald Rush, Steve Rizzone, Kevin McLaughlin, Michael Keyes. These are guys that molded me and my brother into excellent firefighters. And when I became a chief, and I was scared out of my mind as a new battalion chief, you know, even though I was older and I had all that experience, you're now taking all that liability and these lives in your hands. And like I said, I had my senior advisory committee. I'm missing a few guys. Nick Aquafreda was another one. And I would just turn to these guys. We would either meet at the bar, or we would meet at the firehouse around the table, and I would literally pick their brains or give them a call on the phone or shoot them a text message, and pick their brains about stuff. And all I can tell you is do that. Pick their brains, because there is a wealth of knowledge that they have that sometimes they forget that they have. And until you pick that one knot out of their brain and they go, oh yeah, let's talk about that fire, that's when you're going to learn something new about them that you might not have known, or about the fire service that you might not have known. So definitely get yourself a senior advisory committee and use them to your advantage.
Yeah. And it's funny, because we sit here and I'm just thinking now, I'm like, there's 60 some odd years of firefighting just sitting at this table.
Yeah.
Right. You got 20,
21,
21. I got 33. And we got Nick with
seven.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, but that's such a mixed bag, and it's cool. I would have used a F-bomb in there, but I didn't want to drop it.
I'm sure the people behind the camera are very happy, because that's one less thing they have to worry about editing out. So
no edits.
Yeah, exactly. That's the goal. So
now, but what would you say was the hardest of transitioning.
I got you.
There you go. From Fort Lee and going into a new firehouse.
So going from Richfield to Fort Lee?
Richfield, Fort Lee, and then going to a brand new firehouse all the way up to the sticks.
Okay. So going from Richfield, I was literally still one of the chiefs at the time when I joined Fort Lee, because I was living in that town and I wanted to offer my services to that town, because it's just love doing it. And I was a probie. As a matter of fact, I was an auxiliary, because that's just the way their rules are, their SOGs and SOPs. I was an interior auxiliary, but you had to earn your keep. And again, I had no complaints. Scrubbing toilets, washing trucks, checking equipment, I'm all about it, you know? So the transition for me was not difficult at all.
It's almost refreshing, right? It's like, I get to go back and do some stuff that, you know, I haven't done in years.
Matter of fact, mm-hmm. like there was times where I think I still had a probie shield at the time. We had gone to a call in Fort Lee, and they were deciding whether they wanted to force this apartment door or not, because it was it wasn't an odor of smoke. It was a strange odor. And like, they're like, oh, we don't have a key holder. And they turn around like, chief, what are you thinking? I was like, that says P on my hat for probationary. I don't know what you're talking about, you know? But of course, yeah. We ended up taking the door, and they just did the flooring, and it was the chemical smell. It was just off gassing in the apartment, because they hadn't opened the windows. So simple.
Right? But again, here's your senior advisory committee, even though you're a probationary member, right?
Yeah.
They still respect the fact that you were a chief somewhere else. And they're like, hey, listen, maybe what would you, if you, hypothetically, what would you do in this situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So
yeah. So that transition for me was not difficult at all. And the same thing with the transition to West Milford, not difficult whatsoever. But I think that also has to do with the guys that you're transitioning to. Because if you're transitioning to a department that's like, this guy thinks he's going to show me something because he's coming from another department, it wasn't like that at all for me. Fort Lee was like, happy to have you, man. Thank you. Love you. No, I knew these guys for years. You know, we fought alongside each other at mutual aid calls. So we knew and trusted our skills. So that was a very easy transition. This one in West Milford, it's easy, but it's a little different, because I don't know them, they don't know me. So
you're not just going from another town, you're going to another county.
County and another way of fighting fire.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing is a bit of a difference, but getting to know each other is a whole new experience, which is really cool. I feel like, you know, I'm a brand new guy in the fire service again, which is awesome. We get to share those stories and experiences, and I get to learn something new every day up there again. And again, I think it has a lot to do with the guys that you're going into with, you know, like that company has welcomed me with open arms. That makes a big difference versus them being standoffish. They want me to be there. They want to welcome me. That's a very easy transition for me. So I think that makes a big difference too.
But also it's partially your personality too, right?
Sure. Oh, you know, I'm the outgoing, yeah. You know, I'm the guy, you know, call me up. Let's go. Where are we going?
Yeah. You get that guy knock on the door. It's like, you know, there are people that are a little more standoffish and they don't want to.
They want to stand in a corner and like not, you know, socialize and communicate, where I'm walking up to every guy and shaking their hand going, hey, this is, I'm Dave. How are you? Nice to meet you. Where are you from? You know?
And you and your brother have different personalities too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's the quieter guy. And you're the one that's going to come up and, you know, introduce bear yourself.
Shake
hands. Yeah. So, you know, it, and I think a lot of that has to do with your personality as well. But like you said, I think in the fire service now too, is everybody's welcome because it's like, you know, it's not like we're going, hey, we just had 17 guys join last month. Who cares? You know, you're probably the first guy that's joined in months, if not a year.
Yeah, you know? I think I was going to say months probably, yeah.
And you're certified.
And I'm certified. That's the big difference, is that you're not sending me to school. But I think as far as personality goes, I got my mother's outgoing personality. My brother got my father's reserved personality. I got my father's patience. My brother got my mother's patience. Mom, sorry, but he did.
So now we know where that comes from, his level of patience. Yes.
And he's going to deny it all day long, and I don't care, but he's...
Well, I got a great story for you. I'm not going to say it here, though, but I will tell you the story, but not something to be for broadcast, but it's a pretty entertaining story.
Like I said, we could do a whole episode on just Jimmy. He would hate us forever, but we could.
We could.
Pretty sure he would get like, a line of protesters outside the studio here, but we could definitely do that in the future.
Yeah, but it's been great having you here and to get some information, and you know, we will do something on Jimmy. Don't worry, we're not gonna leave him completely out. But it was great having you here today.
Oh, guys, thank you. This was a pleasure sitting around the table with you and just telling stories and talking about life, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, we appreciate you coming in, and you know, thank you again for your service. Just like, you know, Nick, thank you for yours, and you know,
and thank you for yours, Larry.
Thank you. But you know, it is a little different, and you know, nowadays getting firefighters, and you know, I hope that you know, as volunteers, it continues to grow. But
hey, listen, I know I'm not going anywhere. I know you're not going anywhere, at least for a little while, anyway.
Yeah,
and Nick certainly is not going anywhere. So. As long as we can keep that
Nick
up.
Nick tried. Nick was almost up by you.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Come on up, man.
He's trying to find a house. Can you find him a house?
Water is fine.
If you could find me a house, I'll be up there.
Yeah, but he's looking for a house.
The market
we'll find you a house. Right. I know. Yeah. Listen, that's a whole other episode on the housing market right now. We'll do that another day. But we'll get you a house. Don't worry. And then you can join Company 4.
We actually had Company 4's engine in Prosper Park. We use their old engine as our spare.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Because
that's cool.
Our Quint was out of service for about 4 months. And then we actually used your old engine to wet down the new engine you guys got.
Oh, that's cool. That's good to know. Small world,
I think Mawa donated their old engines up
to Vernon.
In Vernon, yeah. where Matt is. I think he said that they have their old tanker up there. Yeah.
That's cool.
So at least the stuff, I mean, because you can't – the new equipment's – prices are insanity. So.
Yeah,
but which is a topic for another day.
A whole another day.
Well, you're close, so we could do another
anytime.
Episode on.
I'm right up the hill, or up the mountain, whatever you want to call it.
Can we do it on the lake?
We could do it. We should do. We should do.
We need a pontoon boat.
What do we
though?
Call it? On location.
Yeah, on location.
We could use Jimmy's boat.
1075.
I don't know if the three of us in Jimmy's boat is going to make it.
Listen, Jimmy's boat is seaworthy. Don't get me wrong, but like you ask Matt Ryan when we first launched that thing. It was like the SS Minnow. We weren't sure if we were making it back to shore, man.
Was it a three-hour tour?
Matt had his death grip on the sides of the boat because he does not like the water. So, like, you saw, like, the white knuckles. It was hysterical because I would do, like, the Mr. Miyagi. No good.
Oh, you should have put the little life vest around him, too.
Oh, we should have. But we definitely got to do an on location.
We'll have to work. We'll work on that. It's going to be a project we're going to have to work on. So.
Have some beverages.
We have a wood shop. We can make a platform.
Oh, no, you don't even. Yeah, we got a pavilion at my lake.
Look at that.
So we're good.
He's bougie.
We're bougie.
It sounds like you need to start looking for a house up by where he is.
We'll find you one. Don't worry about it.
Maybe they might have a relocation service through the fire service up there.
Never know.
They're trying to pull guys in.
There you go.
They need guys like you up there, young guys.
That's it.
So, but again, Dave, thanks for coming out.
Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Nick, thank you for coming out.
You're welcome.
Great having you here today.
You know, I need gotta get more gel now.
What's the matter with your hairs?
I'm almost out.
You're almost out? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask what brand we use. We're going to just wrap this up here.
No, actually, if you want to recommend a brand.
What am I going to do with a recommended brand of hair gel, Nick?
Well, I can recommend Dare to be Bald for you, Larry. It's a lotion.
And I dare to be bald all the time.
Yes, we dare to be bald.
I see a little hairs.
Yeah, I got it. I didn't shave. I shaved yesterday. I didn't shave today. I'm sorry. My bad. I'll get around to it, Nick.
I'm sure you'll have a comment for me if I shave my head, too. Oh, it looks too shiny today. It looks too this.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, you do have one hair out of place. I wasn't going to point it out, but now I will point it out.
I was just
going to
say he's got the alfalfa going on. It's all right, though. It's okay.
I worked out, so.
You worked out today?
Yeah, it gives a good excuse.
Were you trying to get your pump on before you came in here?
Yeah. Okay, good. I had to look big.
Good, so.
All right, guys.
Appreciate your time, Dave.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you for your service.
Check out 1075 Chatter.